Our Old Testament lesson continues. As we read now from the second chapter of the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 10, listen again to God's word. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving and living God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the God of life, and that your power and your grace and your love are made visible even in the most difficult of times. We pray that you will draw near to us now, opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to you, to your call for us and your word to us. And may the word of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fred Rogers was quoted to have said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. When we listen to our Old Testament lesson this morning, we hear a story that would incite fear in the hearts of both young and old if such news would come across our television screens today. If we fix our eyes on Pharaoh and on his decrees, all we see, all we hear, is death. Calling for the murder of all boys born to Hebrew mothers, we realize that Pharaoh's decrees would bring destruction not only to the male children whose lives he was seeking to claim, but to their families and to all future generations. We imagine heart-sick parents having their beloved children ripped from their arms. We recognize that the hope for the future would be gone. I guess we've seen some of this on our TV screens today. The evil at the heart of Pharaoh's decree is in many ways unimaginable. It's extreme. It's cowardly. What kind of king would feel threatened by a baby? What kind of king would wage war upon those unable to defend themselves? We ask these questions today. We see in Pharaoh's decree the extreme ugliness of systemic evil. We see Pharaoh using his power to oppress nation by destroying families on a very personal level. We see this on the news today. Good news is found in this passage only if we follow the advice of Mr. Rogers, who really gives good advice, and if we look for the helpers. The Old Testament lesson that we've heard in two parts today is a narrative that speaks of God's salvation coming from surprising places. It's a story that speaks of the strength of the weak and the weakness of the strong. It's a story that demonstrates that big evil can be thwarted by small acts of courage. It is a story that shows that the helpers really do make a difference. Moses, the great prophet of Israel who would lead the slaves out of captivity and into the promised land, is just a baby when our story begins. These opening verses of Exodus show us how Moses was not only able to escape Pharaoh's infanticide, but be strategically positioned to rise to prominence within Egypt himself, and to himself be an instrument of God's liberating work. But when Moses was just a baby, with no capabilities of his own, saving grace comes his way through the courageous acts of amazing women. One act of courage paves the way for the next, until drastic change has taken place. The stage is set by the Hebrew midwives, Shiphra and Puah, who refuse to comply with Pharaoh's decree. They simply will not be agents of death when their call is to help bring life into this world. Their fear of God overcomes any fear they might have of Pharaoh, and they simply do not do what he says. They assist in the births of both boys and girls and protect the boys who were born by lying to Pharaoh, telling him that the Hebrew women are strong and are able to deliver babies on their own with no help from the midwives. And so when Pharaoh decrees that boy infants should be thrown in the Nile, the stage is set for Moses to be born. He is protected by his mother, who first hides him and then surrenders him when hiding him will no longer keep him safe. She places him in that basket in the Nile, not to harm him, but with his own sister's watchful eye over him and the hopes that he might be saved from the waters. Moses' sister watches as Pharaoh's daughter sees Moses and rescues him. She hears as she claims him to be her own. And then Moses' own sister suggests that Moses' mother might nurse him. By the acts of these five women, Pharaoh's decrees are nullified in Moses' life. Life comes out of death. And what's more, the life that is saved will lead to the salvation of Israelites from oppression. Life breeds life. One commentator says, women here are given such a crucial role that Israel's future is made dependent upon their wisdom, their courage, and their vision. They make a difference, not only to Israel, but to God. God is able to work in and through these women, and that creates possibilities for God's way into the future with this people that might not have been there otherwise. When we turn on the news each evening, it is evident still in this day and age that there are children of all ages who remain disproportionately vulnerable, even in this country. We have heard stories in recent weeks of unarmed African American youth being gunned down in our nation's neighborhoods. And we know that there is a prevalence of violence in our city streets that claims the lives of boys and girls and men and women well before their time. We have heard stories of unaccompanied minors from Central America crossing the borders of this country seeking asylum on their own. We know of children whose lives are threatened by malnutrition, abuse, inadequacies in our healthcare system, systemic failures in the educational system, and simply the prevalence of poverty. And there are children of every age whose lives are threatened by a culture of systemic oppression, where racism, sexism, cissexism, heterosexism continue to claim the lives of our young people who do not feel fully welcomed in this world. Lives are claimed through gunshots or bullying or suicide. The list goes on. When we hear these stories, we know all too well that while God created all people equally loved in God's sight, not all of God's children are treated equally or have equal opportunities in this world. Statistics on poverty, education, homicide rates, childhood illness, and more point to staggering disparities across the dividing lines in America. We know all too well that the playing field is not even. The racial ethnic oppression of Pharaoh's day still has not been fully eradicated in our time. We need to look for the helpers. We need to see the faces of those who are seeking to not only broker peace but justice in Ferguson. We need to see the faces of those who are giving haven to children who arrive in this country with little more than the clothes on their back and the name of a loved one in their hand. We need to see the faces of those who, through small and large acts of courage, work every day to fight bullying, to eradicate poverty, and ensure that every child has 3 nutritious meals a day. We need to see the faces of those who seek to bring gunmen to justice, whether it is a young person in a rival gang or a young man in police blues pulling the trigger. We need to seek out the helpers, for we need change to come. We need to look for the helpers and lift them up and empower them and follow their lead as they too seek to bring life out of death and pave the way to a future with hope. But our call does not stop there. As Christians, we are not called to engage in a large-scale game of I spy, seeking out those around us whose helpful acts bring us courage and comfort. Our call is to be one of the helpers. For we see in the Exodus narrative, God can take even the smallest acts of courage, of hope, and of love, and bless them. God's grace can multiply the impact of our actions so that even the most meager contribution we have to offer can have a real and lasting effect on people's lives and on the lives of our community and our world. Nothing we offer is too small. No initiative of love or justice or peace or hope or welcome is inadequate. We can make a difference. The need is great. In this country and abroad. And so is the call. As Christians, we simply cannot turn a blind eye to the needs of others. James Cone writes, "The church cannot remain aloof from the world because Christ is in the world. We cannot sit back and watch as the world runs itself. For if we do so, we ignore the real presence of Christ in our midst. And we ignore the central invitation at the heart of our call as Christians to love. To love in risky, life-giving, life-affirming ways that speak of the power of Christ's resurrection in our midst today. We are called to speak up for those whose voices are silenced. We are called to make space at the table for those who have been disenfranchised because of the color of their skin or their gender or who they love. We are called to welcome those who have been labeled and judged and wounded simply because of the politics of this world foster survival of the fittest over the well-being of all. We are called to love. And as we see in the Gospels, love is more than a feeling. Love is an action fostered through compassion, justice, peacemaking, and welcome. We are called to participate in the ministry and mission of a God of life. If we wonder what God is up to in the world, all we have to do is turn on the TV news. See the places that are hurting. See the people who are taking risks to help those in need. And answer God's call to step in and step up. And offer our help, too. Christ calls us to minister to those that the world has set aside, deemed as outcast or least or lowly. God has called us to love those who look like us and those who are different from us. God has called us to love when it is easy and when it is uncomfortable. God calls us to love. For it is through acts of love that new life is born. The God who called Moses to life, who called him out of the Nile, and who called him to liberate the captives is the same God whose life-giving aim is worked out within us and through us. And so I ask, what death-defying act are you called to today? How might your words and your deeds bring life into this world? What death-defying message are you called to proclaim? What death-defying mission is yours with God's help? As you seek answers to that question, know that as you and as we step into this call, the God of life is with us always. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, from whom we come, unto whom we return, and in whom we live and move and have our being, we praise thee for thy good gift of life, for its wonder and mystery, its friendships and fellowships. We thank thee for the ties that bind us one to another. We bless thee for thy loving and patient dealings with us, whereby you do ever teach us thy way. We bless thee and thank thee for the meanings that lie hidden even in hearts of sorrow and disappointment and loss, but for thy guiding hand that's with us along the way of life's pilgrimage. Living God, we bless thy name for the revelation of yourself and your love in our Lord Jesus Christ and for the hope set before us in the gospel. We thank thee that deep in the human heart is an unquenchable trust that life does not end with death, and that the Father who made us will care for us beyond the bounds of vision, even as God has cared for us in this earthly world. We praise thy name that our hope has been so wondrously confirmed in the life and words and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grant us, we beseech thee, the comfort of thy presence and the ministry of thy Spirit. Renew within us the gifts of faith, patience, and enduring love. Be with the special needs we've lifted today.